from 30 for 30 Podcasts.
Brian Patta, senior defensive lineman from Miami, gunned down.
The key to this case, it's Brian.
An hour before he died, he was on the phone arguing with somebody.
This might be a hit.
You want the truth. They just want a conviction.
Being placed under arrest.
We had a killer amongst us.
Murder at the U. Listen now.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Oh yeah!
Hit it! Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Jalen Tyson drills another three ball.
Luka for three. Got it!
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, three-time NBA All-Star Richard Hamilton. Senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. Coming up, actor Blair Underwood. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We've had a fun first 2 hours of the show. Rip Hamilton joined us in hour number one, talking some hoops. Albert Breer just joined us from Sports Illustrated. His camera was all jacked up. And just so everybody's wondering about the postscript, our team, Rich Eisen Show team, we figured it out. We're full service.
I mean, what can't we do?
Well, full service. Susie Schuster here in Brockman's spot all rest of the week. O'Shea Jackson Jr. is making his way to the studio, so he's going to get ready to do No Contest Wrestling with you, TJ Jefferson.
Yes,
he will be joining us at the back end of this hour to talk about the hostile work environment that the Lakers have going on for Luka Doncic. Because he likes using that phrase. And I just
can share stories of a real hostile working environment from back in the day.
I know about the triangle offense.
Okay, yes, you do. in our green room, ready to come out in short order in support of Youngblood, which is a contemporary reimagining of the 1986 hockey classic, is Blair Underwood. And I can confirm, having spoken to him during the commercial break, he is fine.
Wait a minute. Blair Underwood's here?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
He is. But when I say fine, I mean in good spirits.
Right. Huh.
Okay.
Oh, I had no idea.
She had no idea. She just.
His wife is here, Suze. So.
Just, I mean, you're there.
I'm here. You're there.
Your wife is
here. We're all there.
Your wife is here.
You're there.
It's not weird at all.
Damn fine and hot.
Hey, man, you asked me to come in today.
He's also here. Excuse me. He's also in support here in support of his book called A Soldier's Wife, which is about his mom.
Oh, that's nice.
Indeed. Yeah. So everybody bring it down.
Do you think Rob Lowe called Youngblood young or blood?
I don't know.
Yeah, when he did Blood, right?
Yeah, when he did Blood. Yeah. When he did Blood back in the day.
When I was doing, yeah, that doesn't work.
Ricardo in San Francisco, save us from this insanity. What's up, Ricardo?
Hey, Rich. How are you?
Thanks for hanging on as long as you did. What's going on, sir?
Okay, so I love the show, but...
Here we go. That's what a setup. What a setup. I feel like I'm being set up.
Well...
Okay, go ahead,
your take on Miami and Tua, I have to say respectfully, you have sounded like an apologist for Tua for years. I'm honestly telling you this because I've heard this over the years.
Okay.
You've always had a story protecting him. If I go through the fan base, and I've been a lifelong Dolphins fan, I think the majority of fans just never agreed with the signing. There's no way, number one. Number two, his whole attitude has really sucked. He threw Flores under the bus after he got fired. He wore those Fendi sunglasses against the Jets at night that really frosted my butt. I just think it was a horrible move. And honestly, Tua needs to send McDaniel a Christmas card every year for the rest of his life because he's the reason why that contract was given to him.
And, that may be the case, but I'm wondering, how did I...
Into what he is.
All right, I'm going to push back here a little bit, Ricardo. How did I cover for him just in the last hour? I'm just pointing out why contracts get handed to players when they're drafted by a general manager in a spot in front of another guy that performs seemingly better in his spot, in Justin Herbert, right? He's going to try and support that pick as much as he possibly can, which he did by getting Tyreek Hill and getting in a coach from an offensive point of view who clearly wanted a coach Tua. And then that coach decides to back his play as well he should with Tua. And that's how a contract gets delivered, because if you didn't, you could have franchise tagged him. You could have franchise tagged him, and instead of giving him that long-term deal. I'm not saying that Tua deserved the long-term deal. I'm just pointing out the way long-term deals wind up getting handed to somebody rather than starting from scratch. And I understand your point of view from the fan base and things of that nature. And you're frustrated, and I totally understand it. But if Tua gets cut, I'm not going to sit here and say he was done dirty by the Dolphins by any stretch of the imagination. You know, that Jeff Hafley coming in with John Eric Sullivan and getting rid of Tua is the same reason why when Robert Saleh came in, he's like, I'm not, and Joe Douglas, I'm not going to own Sam Darnold's mistakes from the previous years by sticking with him here and having a fan base that's already sick and tired of seeing a top pick struggle. We're going to start with our own one. And that was a problem for them both. And yada, yada, yada. Neither of them are there anymore. You know, in the same way the Dolphins haven't.
Well, they've been struggling for 27 years at quarterback.
True. But try honestly, 56 years,
I could
pal.
Feel bad. You could be a Jets fan, and I think a quarterback they've done even worse. So there are other teams out there that have had their share of issues. But I think it was pretty apparent after only a couple of years in the league that I think whatever Tua was going to do, he had a very low ceiling, and. The fan base just doesn't believe he ever deserved even getting drafted. Forget about being drafted, but that extension.
I'm with you. And obviously everything's been borne out. And thanks for the call, and call back and tell me. I don't care if you disagree with me or not. But if you're going to call into the show and you start with, I love the show, but I know something's coming.
It's a very respectable neighborhood.
You know this man was going to call in with Susie sitting here. Maybe the first of 3 days in a row. Jimmy in San Antonio. What's up, Jimmy? How are you, buddy?
Ay, Dios mío, la profesora Susie Schuster is in the house.
Hi, Jimmy. How are you? I've missed you.
I'm doing very well.
Here he goes. How are you?
I also like being called professor.
He asked you how you were doing, Rich.
No, he called you professora.
I know. I like that.
Okay.
Please refer to me in the future only as
really,
Professor.
You really rolled that R great, Rich.
That's
Rich.
Gracias, Jimmy. What's on your mind, buddy?
Okay. Well, first, I didn't know Susie was on today.
Yeah, okay, Jimmy, stop it.
Very honest.
Stop.
And I don't want you to be jealous of our rapport because I met you first. You're my guy.
That's okay. Jimmy, it's okay. I understand that, you know, sometimes bald guys don't wind up at the top of the list. I understand. I get
it. Well, that sucks for Sex in the City fans.
That's right.
Anyway,
yeah.
TJ.
Yes, sir.
Dude, sorry, my man. That was ugly last night.
Oh, man.
It ruined the whole throwback night.
Yeah, the throwback night was awesome and so great.
Susie, I know you were running around. I don't know if you're aware, but last night, Costas and Doug Collins and Mike Fratello and Hannah Storm and Jim Gray. Well, I'm leaving out one more, right?
One more.
They got them all back together again with the graphics like it was 1992 all over again.
Oh, my God. I was in New York when they were talking about it, and Peter Vesey was furious.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, he was the only one not.
Yeah, him and the mod weren't there.
Oh.
Yeah, it was amazing. And then the Spurs.
They didn't need a Jordan interview, so.
Yeah, then the Spurs jumped out 9-0, and then it just went off.
It was over.
Okay, so what it reminded me of, throwback, the NBC, it reminded me of the 99 finals, Rich, where that aired on NBC, and that was a great year for my team.
Hmm. I'm sure it was. Oh, by the way, Isaiah Thomas was the other one. I forgot to mention.
Oh, yeah, he was there. Yeah,
Zeke was involved in it, too. So.
Okay, so here's my Spurs take, which is the problem for the NBA and those of us that love the Spurs. It's a problem for the rest of the league. It's not the Spurs. We're a year ahead of schedule by far. Everyone knows that.
Right.
It's the Atlanta Hawks picks because we have a swap rights with their pick this year, and then we have their 2027 first-round pick, unconditional, just take it. What if the Hawks get a top-five pick this year, and then all of a sudden they suck again and get a top-10 lottery pick next year? That's the problem for the NBA.
The problem for the NBA is they can't figure out how to keep all of this straight, and fans can't either. You know what I mean? This pick's protected. It's not protected. It's that, you know, this is in the lottery. That's not in the lottery. This is an apron. That's not an apron. Trae Young, hey, he's on the Washington Wizards, except he's not going to play for a month and a half. And then when he's right before he plays, he gets ejected from a game. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, Jimmy, you know, we're now in the rubber meets the road portion of the regular season. Now there's just a month to go. Now we're going to find out who's in the playoffs. And then, you know, the NBA, at some point, is going to have to figure out how best to make their regular season feel relevant to fans. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, we just got to figure that part out. And I don't think the in-season tournament where we're changing the court's colors and whatever really does scratch that itch very well. But at the end of the day, the playoffs are going to be lit. It's going to be intense. There's going to be some really great players out there, including your team. It's going to be great to watch, you know?
Yeah, but your Knicks have our number, and we have Oklahoma City's number. And then the Cavaliers are now in the mix. So I don't know who's going to come out the winner this year, to be very honest.
I know.
It's great about
it. I know who it is, Jimmy. I know who it is, Jimmy. Get ready for it.
Who is it?
Get ready for it. It's the Celtics.
Oh, damn it, Brockman.
So, Jimmy, get ready for it, man.
Clip that.
I do not want B-Man to be happy unless B-Man. It's about his B-Man. Son.
That's it. Thanks for the call, Jimmy. Appreciate it. Thanks
Bye,
for chopping
guys.
Up.
I'll see you tomorrow, Jimmy.
Bye, Jimmy. Tequila for everybody.
Get ready for it, right? Get ready for it. You know it. I know it. Like American people know it. I said it yesterday.
My worst fear.
Get ready for it.
No, I don't think
so. Steal yourself, sir. Oh, yeah.
I got hope.
Which is what?
Anybody else? OKC Thunder repeating.
It does seem like Tatum's coming back.
Oh, yeah.
And he'll it's get happening. Just enough. You know they're going to handle it perfectly. He'll get just enough minutes just to get enough sea legs, get enough air in his lungs to get ready. They're only 4.5 back now of the Pistons, 5 in the loss. But the Knicks have 40 wins, which is amazing. You know, the top four are going to be who they are. And we'll just see what you think the Celtics are concerned about taking on anybody from the Magic, Heat, Hornets, or Hawks?
Probably not.
The Hawks might be one of the, I just went higher register, might be one of those teams that suddenly catch fire and, you know, can do first round damage to somebody, I guess. But at the end of the day, the Celtics are 21 over right now, and they're going to get Tatum back and just get ready. That's all.
You okay over there?
Nope.
I already brought you Pepto-Bismol.
I know that.
You're like, is this why you're...
I haven't cracked it yet. Nope. But I'm getting ready for it.
Yeah, I mean... it.
But you understand what I'm saying? Like the regular season at this point in time, it's just been, you know, we're getting to the now. And the now is when it's getting really important. And who's going to go into these playoffs hot? And who's going to go into these playoffs healthy? And the seedings kind of don't matter. You know how the Clippers every few years, they're just like, yeah, it doesn't matter if we're 3, 4, 5, or 6. We don't care.
Yeah.
And then it really comes out to bite them anyway.
Yeah, then it does matter.
All that matters is O'Shea Jackson Jr. is making his way here, and we'll talk about how Luka and J.J. Redick apparently don't like each other.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Even though J.J.'s like, we kind of like each other, and everybody points out that we don't like each other. And that started a 3-game win streak, that moment that apparently we didn't like each other in.
It's kind of like us with Del Tufo. People think we don't like him.
Is that right?
But we do like him, but sometimes.
But
overall,
wait a minute. It's not. And Del Tufo load manages himself.
That is a great point.
You know what I mean?
He's going
to
be load.
Oh, I'll be there on Tuesday. You know what I mean? I got to go to the dentist, and then he shows up right after the show anyway.
After the show's over, yes.
By the way, that happened, Seuss.
Yeah.
I don't have everything ready.
He calls up Jay Monday night, 8 o'clock.
Yeah, 8
Got to go to the dentist.
At night.
Because, as you know, that's when you make dental appointments at 8 o'clock at night.
And you're able to get in that.
While he's in his suite at the Kings game, I might add.
Okay, right. And he says, you got to work tomorrow. Jay thankfully does. And then at 12:01, who walks in the door? at 3 o'clock Eastern.
12.
What was the reasoning?
What was the reason?
Doctor's appointments.
No, but why show up at 12:01?
Great question.
I wasn't here to bring donuts yesterday.
I know. Is he in any of the next 2 days?
No.
Okay.
What do you want for breakfast tomorrow?
We're all set.
Eggs.
Okay. Let's bring out Blair Underwood. Bacon, this is going to be fantastic. We got a great celebrity true or false for him. And the movie Youngblood is coming back. Don't go anywhere.
Bloods.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Get into the Hyundai Getaway sales event and get away with a deal so right, it almost feels wrong. Because right now, you can get great deals on our most popular models, including our adventure-ready SUVs like the Hyundai Santa Fe or Santa Fe Hybrid and the Tucson or Tucson Hybrid. Plus, there's our bold and stylish Elantra loaded with the latest tech, or go all electric with the Ioniq 5 or Ioniq 9. So get down to your local Hyundai dealer and get away with a deal you'll love during the Hyundai Getaway sales event. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for details. If you're ready for an oil change, trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to recommend the best products for your vehicle. Right now, get 5 quarts of Valvoline Full Synthetic Motor Oil and a Wix filter for $35.99 and receive a $15 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. Upgrade to a Wix XP oil filter for just $2 more. Limits apply. See store for details. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store or shop online at O'ReillyAuto.com.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
Wearing LA Kings gear, our radio audience just returned, certainly here in Los Angeles. We just saw a clip of Youngblood available in theaters this Friday, March 6th. It's a reimagining of the hockey classic, and Blair Underwood is here on the program. So back in 86, when Youngblood hits the theaters, you're just a young actor making it in the world, right?
I wasn't even born yet, Rich.
My bad.
No, definitely. I had just moved to New York in 85. I had just started my career.
Okay.
Actually.
Right. Two years removed from LA Law.
2 years, that's exactly right.
Right? And this is an interesting photograph that we have just to, as a launching off point here, because our coordinating producer, Mike Hoskins, thought he remembered a Mad Magazine cartoon of the cast back in the day.
Man.
Remember this?
I remember this.
Okay, we'll put up on the screen, and there
you
it is on the left.
Kidding me.
And then there is a reimagining of the Mad Magazine cover of all of the cast, including Stephen Bochco, the creator, who is the Alfred E. Newman with the gavel on the top right.
Exactly.
There.
And I think that sign I have says the new guy. I think that was my first week of filming.
Is that
I
right?
I just joined the cast. And they say, yeah, just put a sign up that says new guy.
There it is. New guy. So that was your idea to hold that up?
That was my idea. No, it was probably Stephen's idea. Who is one of my favorite people, by the way. Stephen Bochco, of course.
Right.
I was talking
to you beforehand. Susie and I got to know him and Dana, his wife, and for years.
Yeah.
And what a legend. And you, so that's your first TV job? It's a major starring role, I imagine.
Definitely.
Right?
I'd done the Cosby Show before that. But that really changed my life. You know, his decision to cast me affected my life and career to this day. I mean, it's 40 years later, and doors are open now because of the success of that show. And, of course, there was Hill Street Blues before that.
Of course.
And then L.A. Law on the heels of that. And like you said, at his home, he had, 400 Emmy Awards.
Yeah. Honestly, you go in there, and he told a story about the first night that I'll never forget this story. He told me that on the night that Hill Street Blues was nominated for a gajillion awards, and he won so many that night that the show hit, and he won so many Emmy Awards that he was double-fisted with them, and he lowered one Emmy and stabbed himself in the
leg
with it. Because those wings are pretty darn sharp.
Are. Yeah.
You know, that he just forgot how many he had in his hands, and he just wound up accidentally stabbing.
But
when you see that photograph of you with the cast, what do you think of when you see that?
Man, I think of a simpler time. It was the 80s. I think of a different industry. I think of I think of this young kid who just had dreams of kind of coming to L.A. and having success, and that was the number one drama on television.
Sure
so
was.
When I say changed my life, that's what I mean by that. But
look at that cast too. Look at Jimmy Smits up there in the front row.
Harry Hamlin, yeah, Richard Dysart, and Susan Day, and
right,
yeah, and Stephen with the gavel,
the judge. Crazy.
The judge. Here comes the judge.
Well, here it comes. So we have a game called Celebrity True or False.
Yes, of
love
course.
We'd love to play with you here. I'd like to know what's true or false about your career.
All right,
here we go.
Making me nervous here.
No, don't be. Celebrity True or False with Blair Underwood. We've got some terrific production value that goes along with it. Hit it, please.
All right.
Celebrity True or False.
You can't handle the truth.
There you go. That's our production value. All right, first one. This is one of my favorite ones we've ever had here. True or false, Blair Underwood? You went to a lion tamer's boot camp for 2 weeks in an attempt to land a role on Circus of the Stars.
That is very true. It is absolutely true.
Come on.
But I will tell you what was funny about that is they didn't know. They had never had a black lion tamer. So they said, these lions might eat you. So you have to come to, I had to fly to Texas and get in the cages with like 9 lions.
Oh, thanks.
And just see how they responded and reacted. Luckily, they looked at me. One licked me, but they didn't bite me or eat me.
So this was part of your, you had already booked it and you needed to train for it?
Yeah,
is that how it works?
Right. You remember Circus of the Stars.
Of course I do.
Day,
I mean, yeah. we saw some videos beforehand. I mean, it was kind of like, all those celebrity shows, you know, back in the Superstars, instead of you running track.
Battle of the Stars.
Battle of the Network Stars.
Network Stars, that's right.
But instead of doing like a relay race, you're doing trapeze acts.
Yeah, yeah. That's
who
exactly
else,
right.
Do you remember who was on the show with you from back then?
So what happened was, I ultimately couldn't do it after I went down there and spent time with the Lions almost and risked my life, and limb. And then my schedule didn't permit for me to do it. So it didn't work out. But that is true. I'd actually.
So that is true. Yeah. Okay, fantastic. Secondly, true or false? You left Carnegie Mellon early to join LA Law, right? Is that true or not?
I just left because I couldn't afford to stay. LA Law happened.
Got it.
It worked out.
But later you got a degree writing a thesis about Sidney Poitier after being seated next to him on a cross-country flight.
That's very true.
No kidding.
Yeah.
All right. So you're sitting there and like Sidney Poitier is sitting, is he right next to you? Are you
right next to me? I was in LA. I was in New York doing press to promote my first episode, first week of LA Law. I ended up doing 7 years on that show, and I'm walking down the aisle. I think it was Eastern Airlines.
Nice.
And I turn the corner and I see these long legs stretched out, and this man is sleeping. And you have to understand, I wanted to become an actor because of Sidney Poitier.
Yes.
So there's like a whole history of wanting to meet this man and work with him one day. And yeah, and
look at that picture.
And I turn the corner and I must have gasped. Because he woke up, and I said, Mr. Poitier, I'm a huge fan of yours. I said, look, I got 5 hours from New York to L.A. Let me just breathe, calm down. And he could not have been more gracious. And we talked in that. And I had to, because I had left college, Carnegie Mellon, I had to write a final thesis on what those 3 years had been since I left school. That was going to be my credit.
Okay.
The thesis ended up being that conversation I had with Sidney Poitier for the last 3 hours of that flight. But he became a mentor of mine, and he became very supportive. Every live theater performance I did, he was there, always supportive, and just could not have been more gracious. He was a prince.
The greatest, I mean, sometimes you'll see online, you know, famous people in an airplane setting, and you get to choose who you'd want to sit next
to.
It's just as a game, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, out of all the people, you could have been set.
Well, and Sidney Poitier,
insane.
Also, you remember Hal Holbrook?
Of course.
Great character actor.
Yeah.
He was an actor who my mom would always point to when I was a kid. And she said, I hope you're that kind of actor. She didn't remember his name, but she said, what I know is whenever I see him, he'll be in a quality project.
Yes.
He's a quality actor.
Yes, sir.
So he was sitting right behind us, just coincidentally. And they're talking. I'm like,
wow. What a flight.
Sidney Poitier, man, what am I doing here?
What a flight.
That was amazing.
Oh, my goodness. All right, next up, true or false, your L.A. Law role once led to an invitation to Harvard Law School, where you met the president of the Harvard Law Review named Barack Obama.
That's very true.
Oh, come on. That's amazing.
You like that one?
Yeah, I like that one.
Susan liked that. I like
so,
that.
Okay. Really?
Yeah,
that's
man.
My follow-up.
Because my character that Stephen Bochco created was Jonathan Rollins, who was president of the Harvard Law Review. And because of the Harvard tie-in, like the LA Kings, people said, okay, let's connect you. So they invited us to Harvard Law.
Yeah,
I went there, and everybody kept saying, you have to meet this guy who is the first black president of the Harvard Law Review. And I met him. I mean, we all went out to dinner, and that was it. When he runs for president... The New York Times is doing an article on him. Mm-hmm. And he said, because of L.A. Law and the popularity of the show, he said, everybody calls him, you know, Jonathan Rollins. He said that in the interview.
Come on.
So they call my manager's office. My manager says, is that true? I said, wait a minute. That was that tall guy with the big ears? That was Barack Obama? So, yeah. So that's very true.
Because I was going to ask when he starts, you know, he gave the speech when he was a senator at the Democratic National Convention, where that's when he began to really rise.
That's right.
And then he... runs for president. I was wondering when you put two and two together, that's how you put two and two
during the campaign. Yeah. And I ended up campaigning for him and was invited to the first state dinner and got a chance to see him as president, which was just an incredible journey and victory in that respect.
Damn, LA Law really opened some doors.
I'm telling you, it opened a lot of doors, man.
Next up, true or false. I love this one too. This is a great one. You're directing in a certain person's narration in The Second Coming. You try to give him some pointers, but realized he didn't need it because it was James Earl Jones.
That's right. That's right. I really didn't think about giving pointers. I figured I probably should, but maybe not.
Come on. He's doing narration. You really thought for a split second, do it this way, do it that way.
It was my first time directing. I said, I should probably give him some direction. And he said, give me any kind of direction you want.
Okay.
We ended up doing a project together, and I remember... one of my favorite all-time sports movies is Field of Dreams.
Sure.
Of course, that he was in.
Yes.
And I said, Mr. Jones, I love Field of Dreams. And that one scene, and of course, stupid me, I'm imitating him to him. And I said, when you say, people will come, Ray, people will most definitely come. And now, I had never thought of this. And he laughed and he said, what was it you liked? You liked the sexual connotation? I said, no, dude, I didn't even think about that. I was just saying I like the way your voice worked. He was a funny man.
I'm trying to remember, TJ, when we had some of the folks from the Sandlot on the show, and he tried to scare the kids at one point saying, I am your father.
Like, right.
He did some Darth Vader.
Like Luke, some Darth Vader stuff.
Yeah, man.
He was a great man. He had passed, I think, last year.
Yeah, recently.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
This is the last one. You'll like this one, Suze. True or false? In Sex and the City, the giant I love you cookie that caused Miranda to break up with you was real because you kept eating it for days after the scene.
All of these are true. Okay. So, not only was it real, they had five on the set. You always have to have a backup, of course. So okay. We used two. I took three home. And they were like, I'm telling you, it must have been like 3 feet in diameter.
Mm-hmm.
It was huge and very good.
It was.
It was good to me.
What was it?
Oh,
what type of cookie?
It was a chocolate chip
cookie.
I should have asked you.
Kitchen. She went into the kitchen. She started shoving it in her face, and that was the dumbest breakup Miranda ever had. I want you to know that.
Thank you, Susan.
Robert Leeds is a legend. And I mean, to choose Steve over Dr. Robert Leeds, really.
I love it. Thank you, Susie.
I'm still smarting on that one.
Me too.
Yeah, I know.
Me too.
But then when Steve goes upstairs, or was it her? She went upstairs, and then you had two ladies in there.
That's right. That's exactly right. So I got payback on that, right?
Just saying. We could really go down a rabbit hole now. Could that have what turned her? In the future, I don't know. Same, lot of things.
Connected
lot of
dots.
Oh, connected some
here.
Serious dots there.
That's right.
I think she was traumatized after that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I love that you remember that.
Did you meet any Knicks through that process?
We did, yeah.
Since you played the doctor of the Knickerbockers?
The Knicks, yeah. We shot one scene when we first meet, actually, at Madison Square Garden. And there's some Knicks that day. We got a chance to hang out a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have any follow-ups, Suze? I mean, honestly.
She's there. She's watching. She doesn't know who's playing. He looks across the court. He gives her like a little wink. She goes, oh, my God. He's looking at me. But I don't watch the show very much.
It's like your national anthem.
I'm loving it.
Literally was. Like, you lived in New York City at the time.
I know.
You must get that quite a bit. What do you get the most?
Last night, I'm talking to this young kid, the son of the director. He's like 18, he's telling me all about Sex and the City, but he says, you know, this generation now with streaming, they're rediscovering that, and it's a whole new generation that's now like kind of dialed into the show, which is very cool.
Well, you're dialed
because
in
it's it. Just as relevant as ever. I mean, it's got characters who are lonely that are searching for a there.
Yes.
And it's also about your real first crack at independence. Mm-hmm. If you watched it from the beginning, that's really what it's about.
It's about cookies, too, in many ways, metaphorically and literally.
Big giant chocolate chip.
Big giant
cookies. She sat there over the trash can, shoving it in her mouth. I'm like, stop eating.
I love that. That's exactly right.
What are you, insane? This gorgeous guy's asking you to marry when you're eating a cookie?
Just marry the man.
Where's Magda? Clean up the stuff. Come on.
I just never thought I ever would have to get a restraining order against my wife for a guest.
Honey, you had Allie Larder here.
That's true.
Weeks ago.
Okay, that's true.
For two segments, by the way.
TJ, you have a question about a movie also for Blair, right? Didn't you?
Well, we were coming out with the True or False, and you know, one of my favorite movies that you're in is Just Cause.
Oh, man.
Because it seemed that you got to play the bad guy after doing the good guy role in L.A. Law, and that cast was just amazing with Sean Connery and Lawrence Fishburne and, you know, Ed Harris and a very young Scarlett Johansson.
10-year-old Scarlett Johansson, yeah. That's right.
Any memories of shooting Just Cause?
Yeah, just, well, the fact and Sean Connery, of course,
yes.
Because he was Scottish, we could not shoot the ending. They had to reshoot the whole ending of that movie.
Why?
Because the test audiences didn't care for it for whatever reason. I don't even remember why. But we had to shoot the whole ending back in London because we shot it in Miami, in the Bahamas, because Sean Connery could only spend so many days in the United States because of his Scottish citizenship.
Right.
So, no, it was just cool, man. They rebuilt this entire swamp, like the size of a football field, 100 yards, man-made swamp. We shot that entire scene there at where he shot James Bond for years at Pinewood Studios in London.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're shooting on this. Man, you've had some experiences.
I've been very, very fortunate.
So you're shooting with Sean Connery on the same studio set that he would shoot Bond movies.
St. James Bond, yeah.
Wow.
That's what I think about.
I don't blame
those days, yeah.
You like playing the bad guy?
I love playing the bad guy because, you know, again, that L.A. Law was 7 years of my life and it really established certain roles. Sidney Poitier was a template of the kind of characters I wanted to play, but to kind of flip that on its head, Just Cause allowed me to do that. And then the next 20 years of my career was a lot of bad guys or in between where you don't know what to expect, which is great.
Well, I mean, congrats on everything going on with Youngblood. Let's talk about your book before I let you go, sir.
You know, what Susie was saying just about Sex and the City, how it was really about the independence and people finding their independence.
Yes.
That was my mom. You know, she was in the 1950s, moved to New York City to pursue fashion designing.
Mm-hmm.
She loved the TV show, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Partially because of that.
It's a great
woman
show.
In the 50s, finding herself.
Uh-huh.
So that's why the subtitle is, it's called A Soldier's Wife, The Marvelous Mrs. Marilyn A. Underwood.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And I should tell you, Soldier's Wife, so I was doing a soldier's play on Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
This was her last hurrah right before the pandemic, 2020. She got dressed up, her last time kind of going out before she passed in October 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And she meets Tony Shalhoub, who's
from
the cast of The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Yeah.
And that's all she wanted to say. She comes backstage, I'm her son. I'm starring on Broadway. It's opening night. All she wants to say is, I just met Tony Shalhoub. So it was just appropriate, you know, that we subtitle it The Marvelous Mrs. Underwood.
I love it.
Yeah, so please, it's on Amazon now. Pre-order it. It's
available April 14th.
Yes. So it's a love letter to her. And anybody who has a mom or loves their mom, it's for you.
Well, did you learn anything? I mean, about her? I mean,
oh, man, Rich, I tell you, I learned so much about the woman I never knew before she became my mother.
Hmm.
You know, because it's taken from so many interviews from friends and, you know, she was a businesswoman, too. So a lot of audio interviews. But I didn't really know this young lady, this teenage woman who existed and was incredible before she gave birth to myself and my older brother and two younger sisters.
And again, it's called A Soldier's Wife, My Mother, The Marvelous Mrs. Marilyn A. Underwood. A Soldier's Wife. Again, everybody pre-order it. April 14th. I guess in time for Mother's Day. It's not a bad
idea, go.
Too. See?
Perfect.
Right? Yeah, it was about a month before it. And Young Blood is available in theaters this Friday, March 6th, a reimagining of that hockey classic starring Blair Underwood, who does not skate in it, but that's okay. It's okay.
But there's a lot of great skating, just not by me.
He just acts his ass off. That's all he does. Great to see you, sir.
Man, it's so great. Thank you for having me.
This is a blast.
What a pleasure.
Come back anytime you wish.
I would love to.
Thanks for coming. I think we've just barely scratched the surface on the true or false, and I'll let Suze know when you're back.
All right.
Right? We can go through the whole episodes of Sex and the City. Anything else before I let Blair go? No,
I feel pretty good about this.
Okay.
Right.
Great to see you, man.
You too, Rich.
Blair Underwood. Thanks, right, man. Here on the Rich Eisen Show. We're back with O'Shea Jackson Jr. in a moment. Don't go anywhere.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Get into the Hyundai Getaway sales event and get away with the deal so right it almost feels wrong, because right now you can get great deals on our most popular models, including our adventure-ready SUVs like the Hyundai Santa Fe or Santa Fe Hybrid and the Tucson or Tucson Hybrid. There's the bold and stylish Elantra, loaded with the latest tech. You can go all electric if you wish. Ioniq 5 and Ioniq 9 are perfect examples of that. Get down your local Hyundai dealer now and get away with a deal you'll love during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for details. Look who's joining us right now. Blair Underwood gets up and O'Shea Jackson Jr. sits down. Look at us on the program.
Right.
Look
right
at you. I like the whole black, the black on black, the whole business.
That's right. Between me, Blair Underwood, it's like the Source Awards in here, man. We're killing it right now. And it's crazy you say that, because I also cry when I see baseball movies.
Why is that? Because you don't like them?
Except for Sandlot.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Benny the Jet Rodriguez.
You don't hate them all then? You don't hate them all?
No, no, not them all.
Okay. Sandlot. All right, so, you know, O'Shea Jackson Jr. here getting set to do No Contest Wrestling with T.J. Jefferson. You come here frequently and accuse me of setting up a hostile work environment.
100%.
So that makes me J.J. Redick and you Luka? Is that what it makes?
Ooh.
Is that what it is? Are you the Luka in this and I'm the J.J. Redick?
I know I'm light-skinned, but, like, my goodness, bro. No, Luka?
I'm just...
I mean, it's an honor. I mean, he is the man.
Right? I mean, you make plays.
77.
You make plays?
Yes, I do. What play did I make?
No, I'm just saying, you know, I see the head coach and I see, you know, trying to dap him up.
Yeah.
And he leaves him hanging. Mm-hmm. He's very upset. They're in the middle of a 3-game losing streak. They wind up winning that game and winning 2 more in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And then J.J. Redick was before that third straight win last night against the Pelicans, had this to say about the exchange.
Yeah, I didn't think much of it at the time, to be honest with you. I don't think Luka did either. I mean, he and I have a great relationship. I really value our relationship. And I think those things happen, you know, not every game, but they happen very frequently. And, you know, sometimes you have to rehash them with a player, or, you know, as a teammate, sometimes it happens player to player. It's a competition. And, you know, there's two guys here who, in this case, are trying to win a basketball game and be on the same page about stuff. And frankly, like, you know, I talk about, like, player-led teams all the time. Like, I encourage guys talking to me or talking to our coaches and bringing stuff up and telling us what they need. I don't know why it went viral. It felt very normal to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nothing?
Let me tell you something, Rich. This is the Los Angeles Lakers.
Okay.
Right? Jerry West, we are the logo of the league. The gold ball that is the logo of the Lakers is on top of the trophy. Mm-hmm. We are the league. Everything that happens on the Lakers is magnified just to no end.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to happen. Now, do I like that J.J. Redick is turning the Lakers into Duke basketball for some reason? Maybe not all the time, but sometimes it works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you need a little turmoil right now. Things ain't all good. And if you act like they are, nothing will change. And so, yeah, I mean, we're headed in the right direction right now. But, you know, I'm never going to sweat. You know me. I'm obnoxious. Okay?
This is ridiculous. I think this is so crazy.
Yep.
Sometimes a coach and a player will disagree. Can you imagine if there were cameras on people the entire time Phil, Kobe, and Shaq were barking at each other?
My goodness.
In 2000, 2003? And this whole idea that they have to be friends. They are not friends. They are coworkers. And if Luka doesn't like something that JJ does, let him not high-five him. This is not the Sandlot. You'd love to say.
Nice.
Right? You like that?
Yeah, Sandlot. That was
This is such a non-story to me. Because I covered chaos all the time. And because there was so much back and forth amongst these three guys. The difference is Phil would have never acknowledged this. Phil would have raised his eyebrow, right? And he would have quietly made some little remark. But he used to always say, remember when he used to refer to Kobe as uncoachable?
Yeah,
and like,
I had a book or something,
he'd,
rather.
He'd send little messages like that, but with the raised eyebrow and the soul patch, and everyone would go about
it. Yeah, on his high chair.
But he had rings, though.
Yeah.
That's the difference, yeah. Right? Yep. I mean, he had rings. Well, and he was winning rings. So, like, at this point in time, what do we have right now other than somebody who's now here in Los Angeles? We're trying to figure out how they're going to win one this year together. You see what I'm saying?
I just
and until like then, and until then, we're gonna wonder what. No, no, I'm only using that just to troll on.
To go,
I was saying this year's a little shaky.
But,
like,
but by the way, until they win, you're not hostile. Wrong. Yeah. Until they win,
right?
There's always going to be trolls, videos, social media poking, what have you. But there's going to be wholesale changes. We
gotta,
all know that's coming.
We got to see Luka take this team on that run with LeBron that he took, say, the Mavericks on 2 years ago. You know what I mean? Like, we
for sure.
Which is entirely it's entirely possible yeah, that happens.
The right pieces around them right now, and we're in limbo. JJ came here thinking he was going to have a team of LeBron and AD to work with, and then got gifted Luka Doncic. And so things have to change, and you know, you have to be able to adapt. And we're seeing that right now, and it takes a little bit more time than it would on NBA 2K. I will also like to say I've been coming to this show for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the first time I've ever agreed with that desk right there. That is crazy. That is an impressive. What a landmark.
You are welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Vast improvement, huh?
Man.
Do you have you got 2 cents on this matter?
On the
what we're talking about. Yeah.
I don't know, man. I haven't been paying much attention to them because I'm worried about my guys.
Worried. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That was rude.
It was very rude. And then
hostile.
Well, I see a report today that said Daryl Morey was looking to actively try to add Kawhi Leonard to the Sixers, and it didn't happen. And then all we did was we managed to trade away Jared McCain. So,
but Kawhi still can't quit Paul George. Is that why? So it is.
If that were the case, he'd be.
Is that what's going on?
If that were the case, the trade would have happened. So,
mm-hmm.
You know me. Anytime the Lakers do bad, it's great for me.
But they're not doing.
Yeah, but there's a strike. You can't. You're not going to go far when
they're 13 games over 500.
I get it.
They are 13. They are not. You know, in the scrum of hoping to get into the playoffs.
But
right
when
now.
You're
although head coach, they're just two in front of the Suns.
When you're head coach and your star obviously having some beef, that doesn't bode well, right?
But you're just 2.5
ninth. Sorry,
you're just 2.5 games. You know, the Lakers aren't. 2.5. They're a game and a half away from hosting a playoff.
Yeah, but
series.
Don't you feel like it's the same thing with the Yankees? Like, unless the Yankees are leading, unless they're at the top, then they're losing.
Something, yeah.
And that's how it feels. You are a Laker
fan. That's a good
fan,
point, though. I hate
it. That's exactly right. If you're a Laker fan where they are right now, this is not a success story.
Yeah, you're not happy. No.
Well, you can't. I think the better analogy would be Cowboys for TJ because.
Yeah,
he doesn't understand what the Yankees have to deal with as a Met fan. All they're trying to do is just single white female half their roster from Soto to Holmes
Mr.
to Devin
had to
Williams.
Go get a bunch of Mets to win in 96.
Take them all.
I missed you guys.
Take them all.
Strawberry.
Is this the hostility you're
Yeah, man.
To?
Don't do that combine no more. Y'all missed my birthday.
You're shooting in Brockman's direction when he's not here. I'm shooting at TJ.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like this. But you appreciate this sort of thing.
I love it.
But we're winning. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're winning.
By the way,
if anybody's looking for any toenail clippers or used toothbrushes, they're right here.
No, they're not. Right.
They are. Oh, don't touch that baseball that's down there.
If anybody's looking for toenail clippers, I just found a couple pairs.
Two
in
of
a
them.
Used toothbrush.
You sit next to him. Is he clipping his hands and his feet with two different clippers?
Yeah, you got to separate them.
Is he taking his
shoes? That's a biohazard.
Is that a hand one and a foot one?
That's yeah.
Disgusting. Oh, my goodness.
Felly, workers' comp.
Right,
workers' comp, bro. Let one of them toenails clip you.
Yeah, I'm throwing mold over there.
Yeah, man.
So you're not concerned, literally. At the end of the day, when are we going to start? I guess they got another month to start gelling here.
I mean, I'm not happy. I'm not through the roof, but like, I will always tell people I've seen worse. I was one of those Laker fans that was rooting for Andrew Gautlock minutes back in the day. All right. Kendall Marshall, baby. All right.
Look at you.
Jordan Hill. You telling me that I'm supposed to jump off the ship when I got Luka and LeBron? You miss me and step your accuracy up.
Ladies and gentlemen. O'Shea Jackson Jr.
Thank you, America.
Who's on No Contest Wrestling?
Today we have Penta. Penta, who's the new Intercontinental Champion over at WWE.
Yes.
And Same episode, right?
There was
DVV? Yeah. Chris Van Vliet, who is the man. Great guy. I've been on his show a few times. Now returning the favor. He's got motion in these wrestling streets. Mm-hmm. You know, this is the first time you've seen me since we brought John Cena.
Oh, I heard John Cena was the best.
He was the best for us.
Amazing.
It was the greatest John Cena interview of all time, obviously.
And we're not just saying that.
Like, yeah.
The report that, right? said it. ESPN said
it. Yeah, all his friends
John
said it,
Cena
apparently.
Said it. Triple H said it.
All the streets.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Paul Heyman said it. Jacob Fatu said it.
NCW, baby.
Okay.
We got motion.
Well, that's the latest episode of No Contest Wrestling. It will be on your RSS feed by nightfall. We're back to wrap this show on Disney Plus in a moment.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to the Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney Plus, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.